It's Thursday, January 14th. I'm Lucy Steiner.
And I'm Sam Cedar. Which of these stories will you be talking about today?
Donald Trump yesterday became the first United States president to be impeached twice. Congratulations, sir. Meanwhile, new details continue to surface about cooperation between last week's Capitol mob and elected Republican officials, not to mention the corporate money that backs them. And lastly, the United States government has announced a trade ban on certain products from China made with forced labor. A fifth of the global cotton supply is at stake, and major clothing brands are implicated.
You are listening to Majority FM's AM Quickie, and these are the stories you need to know.
It's done. History has been made. Again. And hopefully not for a third time, because one insurrection was exciting enough. The House voted yesterday to impeach Donald Trump on a charge of inciting violence against the U.S. government. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell left open the possibility of voting to convict at a trial, which would occur after Trump leaves office next week, The Washington Post reports. And the Senate could vote on barring Trump from future elective office if he is convicted. The final vote in the House yesterday was 232 to 197, with 10 Republicans voting with Democrats for impeachment. It was reportedly the most bipartisan impeachment ever. During debate on the House floor, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy said Trump bears responsibility for last week's violent takeover of the Capitol, but proposed that he be censured rather than impeached. Holding Trump accountable, McCarthy says, would only fan the flames of partisan division. Congressman Jamie Raskin of Maryland, the lead impeachment manager, had a concise response to that argument. He said, quote, "It's a bit much to be hearing that these people would not be trying to destroy our government and kill us if we just weren't so mean to them," unquote. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said Trump must go, calling him a clear and present danger. Representative Hakeem Jeffries of New York went farther, calling Trump, quote, "a living, breathing, impeachable offense," unquote. Trump released a video statement disavowing political violence. He reportedly spent the day furious watching television. A number of National Guard troops deployed to Washington, D.C. ahead of Joe Biden's inauguration has reportedly swelled to 20,000, double what was initially pledged. News photos showed service members resting on the floors of the Capitol. Not everyone is happy about the increased security. A dozen or more Republicans in the House, including gun-toting Colorado Representative Lauren Boebert, have refused to comply with newly installed metal detectors outside the chamber. Some are concerned that these Republicans may be showing future armed insurrectionists how to circumvent security. And there is new information about how GOP-elected officials may have coordinated with the mob that took over the Capitol last week. The Washington Post reports that weeks before the siege, right-wing activist Ali Alexander told his followers he was planning something big for January 6th. Alexander, who organized the Stop the Steal movement, said he hatched a plan alongside three GOP lawmakers, Representatives Andy Biggs and Paul Gosar of Arizona, and Mo Brooks of Alabama. All are hardline Trump supporters. And Politico reports that Democratic Representative Mickey Schirill of New Jersey witnessed colleagues escorting people through the Capitol on January 5th for what she described as reconnaissance ahead of the next day's violent insurrection. Schirill did not identify the lawmakers, but has referred her information to authorities. Democrats are also investigating. Finally, two Capitol police officers told BuzzFeed News they wouldn't be surprised if lawmakers helped plan the attack. Beyond Washington, Politico reports that the Capitol riot was fueled by a deep network of GOP statehouse support. Lawmakers from more than a dozen states attended the January 6th rally, while scores more cheered the mob from afar. Meanwhile, corporations and industry groups have donated at least $170 million in recent years to congressional Republicans who rejected Joe Biden's victory over Trump, according to Public Citizen, an advocacy group. So the insurrectionists have money, they have numbers, and they have outrage. But pretty soon, at least, they won't have Congress or the White House.
Hey, Majority.fm's AM Quickie is fueled by JustCoffee.coop. Just Coffee is a worker-owned coffee roaster based in Madison, Wisconsin, that has sponsored the Majority Report for nearly a decade. Check out their collection of fair trade roasts, including our own Majority Report blend, and regardless of what you order, receive 10% off of your order when you use the code MAJORITY at checkout. All shipping, of course, is free. That's coupon code MAJORITY at justcoffee.coop.
This news of global trade and diplomacy comes via the Associated Press. The U.S. government announced yesterday that it will halt imports of cotton and tomatoes from the Uyghur region of China. The AP is calling it the most sweeping action yet to pressure the Communist Party over its campaign against ethnic minorities. Officials said Customs and Border Protection will use its authority to block products suspected of being produced by forced labor to keep out cotton, tomatoes, and related products from the Xinjiang region of northwest China. The region is a major supplier of cotton, so the order could have significant effects on international commerce. According to the AP, the order will put economic pressure not just on China, but major global retailers who import goods produced by people under conditions that are akin to modern-day slavery. Scott Nova, executive director of the Workers' Rights Consortium, said, quote, any global apparel brand that is not either out of Xinjiang already or plotting a very swift exit is courting legal and reputational disaster. The days when any major apparel brand can safely profit from Xinjiang cotton are over, unquote. The consortium estimates the U.S. ban affects about 20% of the global cotton supply. China has imprisoned more than 1 million people, including Uyghurs and other mostly Muslim ethnic groups. People have been subjected to torture, sterilization, and political indoctrination in addition to forced labor as part of an assimilation campaign. China denies allegations of rights abuses and forced labor, saying it aims only to promote economic and social development in the region and stamp out radicalism. It also rejects criticism of what it considers its internal affairs. Well, we'll stop criticizing when they stop abusing people.
And now for some quicker quickies.
Quicker quickie.
The U.S. recorded an all-time one-day high of 4,327 COVID-19 deaths on Tuesday, according to the Associated Press. The nation's overall death toll from the pandemic has topped 380,000, closing in fast on the number of Americans killed in World War II. Wildfire smoke now accounts for up to half of all fine particle pollution in the western U.S., according to the Los Angeles Times. A new study by researchers at Stanford University and UC San Diego blames climate change for worsening air quality and health risks in both urban and rural communities in recent years. Italy opened up a huge trial yesterday of 325 defendants linked to a powerful mafia syndicate in the southern region of Calabria. According to the New York Times, the charges include murder, extortion, usury, money laundering, drug trafficking, corruption, and more. Prosecutors hope to prove collusion among mobsters and public officials, politicians, businessmen, and members of secret lodges. Joe Biden yesterday named Samantha Power, the former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, as his choice to lead the U.S. Agency for International Development. It's another Biden appointment that will thrill the center and annoy the left, as he is wont to do.
Quicker, quickie.
That's it for the Majority Report's AM Quickie today. Sam will be with you in a few short hours.